Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Horror 421, the podcast, with your host, your friendly small-town horror author, Charles Campbell. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the frights in this week's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Horror 421, the podcast. I'm your host, small town horror author, Charles Campbell. And today I have two very special guests. One is a friend of the show who's been on many times. And the other guy is a brand new guest we're having today. He is part of the group that started Welcome to Primetime, Freddy's Nightmare podcast. It launched in October of 2022. And I'm pleased as punch to have David Denoyer and my good pal, Henrik Kuto, on the show.
I'm making people say your name like that, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, I pronounce it like Henrik, man. I know it's Denoyer, but hey, I wanted to follow my man's footsteps. So, David, before we jump into the book, I kind of want to let my audience hear from you. Give us a little background on yourself and, you know, how you met up with Henrik, and kind of give us an overview.
Absolutely. So I originate from Troy, Ohio, which is about 20 minutes north of Dayton. And I was always into movies growing up. So when I was in high school, I took a class called broadcast journalism. It got me into the feel of basically doing music videos, short films and whatnot. And we also used to produce the morning announcements. That was like basically like a news program at that point. So that kind of got my foot in the door. And while that was happening, I was also going to Inglewood, where our good late friend Andrew Kopp was doing a thing called Independent Shadow Cinema. And before that, he had started doing a thing called Horrorama with the late, great Dr. Creep. And that was when I met Mr. Enrique, because he was essentially a celebrity to me, honestly, because he would go to these. My buddy Xander and I would go to these shows, and Enrique would gladly give his input on the films live from his seat, shouting at the screen. And also we would always just like, you know, chat and whatnot. So then it became an opportunity for me to work with him on Babysitter Massacre back in, I mean, God, how long has that been now, man? 2000?
It's almost 10. Almost 10
yeah,
years.
Almost 10 years, yeah. And so I got the opportunity to work on Babysitter Massacre. We had finished production, and then Enrique and I kind of realized that we had a lot in common. We started hanging out. We've been friends for about 10 years now. We've watched easily over 500 movies together, I would say, in our friendship, from starting with our days of doing our marathons during the Easter and whatnot. And lo and behold, we've kept this friendship going for a long time. We've also both been huge fans of Freddy's Nightmares. So when that became an opportunity to watch, we decided to start a podcast, and that kind of got us a lot closer.
We were fans of Freddy Krueger, and we both were curious about Freddy's Nightmares.
Yeah,
because it was just
tried to watch it.
It was the last mystery of Nightmare on Elm Street is Freddy's Nightmares. So that, I mean, that's what kind of really brought it up was it was on Tubi briefly.
We got it first, and then Tubi.
Yeah, but then we were all of a sudden like, holy crap, it's available! It's at our fingertips. It'd never been that way ever before.
Yeah.
So as we were committing to watching all of them, I was like, what if we make a podcast that no one asked for about Freddy's Nightmares?
Well, I will tell you,
it hadn't been out there yet either.
Go ahead.
I mean, because you guys did that, we got this, but keep going.
It's true. No, I just remember Dave being like, cool. And then he showed up for the first recording. And as is my way, I had went overboard. So Dave had Dave was just like, what is that? I was like, Rodecaster Pro 2.
Oh yeah.
He was like, what? I was like, oh yeah, it's like the epitome of podcast mixer. I didn't own it before. And you know, we had like stupid nice mics. I literally just pulled everything out of the Weekly Spooky setup and set up our little two-man show.
Nice.
One of those duh moments about like, why don't we do a podcast together, since I'm doing podcasts all the time already?
Well, I think honestly it had started, I mean, we'd already been doing Freddy's, of course, but I think when you had me on Spooky a couple times to do like the horror lineups and stuff that I put together for Halloween, I think Christmas, that was when it was kind of just like you even pulled me aside and you were just like, you know, you have a lot of good information that, you know, to share with people on this stuff that you have a knowledge that people don't normally have. So
but
that also encouraged me.
Here's the David time compression. We were already doing the Freddy's Nightmares pod.
That's what I said. Yeah, it was during
and
Freddy's.
And then I had you on Weekly, on Weekly Spooky, which is my bread and butter podcast.
Yeah.
And no, and you did awesome on it. The audience has enjoyed your appearances very much. So,
well, thank you.
I didn't mean to interrupt. It's just that if I don't interrupt David, I start to feel like there's spiders all over my skin.
That's fair.
I have to.
Well, I've listened to some of the podcasts you guys have done, and I love David's voice. I mean, he's a natural broadcaster. You know, I'm sure you've probably been on radio and whatever, but
I have.
you have the sound.
I appreciate that.
I've got that Southern, you know, country boy twang, so I don't sound very good on the radio, but I tell you, you sound really well, buddy.
I appreciate that.
So, going through my notes, you guys kicked this thing off in October of 2022, and what I want to know from both of you, and you can pick who wants to go first, what seed was planted to make you guys want to do this podcast?
I mean, honestly, what it was Enrique and I had an early run into with Freddy's Nightmares, because the one thing about Freddy's Nightmares is that it was not available for the longest time.
And it isn't again.
Yeah, and it isn't again. It's already not available again. But it wasn't available for the longest time. So you had to go through, you know, conventions and whatnot, get bootlegs or anything along those lines that you could get to try and find it. And I had at one point had a bootleg that I brought over to his place because I was like, you know, let's watch Freddy's Nightmares. Like, neither of us had seen it, you know, except for what we'd found. And it was about, I think about like, towards the middle of the first episode, like, I was like, you know, the picture's not that bad. And Enrique goes, David, is that guy wearing glasses? And I couldn't tell because the rip of the image was so not great.
Well, you said no, and then it cut to a close-up, and he was clearly
totally
wearing
glasses.
Yeah, and that became a long-running joke anytime Dave would bring a copy of a movie over that didn't look great. I'd be like, is he wearing glasses? God.
He didn't bring DVDs. He brought VCDs. You remember those? Yeah.
I remember VCDs.
I had a VCD at once.
I used to make SVCDs of my little backyard movies because burning DVDs wasn't possible.
Yeah,
and SVCD was half the quality of DVD, so it was a lot better than a normal VCD, but you could only fit 35 minutes on a CD.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've owned a couple bootleg VCDs in my life.
That's fair. But yeah, like once we got that bootleg, and it was just like, I mean, we eventually abandoned that bootleg. I think like we only did like maybe one more episode.
I think we watched like two, maybe three.
And then we just really never touched it again. So then when that series became available at a pretty decent quality, I mean, a quality that was better than anything that had been out that time, it was just like this felt like something special. So then when he recommended us doing, like suggested us to do the podcast, I was just like, that could be a lot of fun, not knowing what Pandora's box we were about to open.
Well, the real Pandora's box that was opened was that Dave immediately was massively dedicated to the endeavor, which I thought would be relatively benign.
That's fair.
So I show up for the first day and I told Dave, I was like, hey man, it's just like our current podcast, Do You Even Movie?
Yeah.
I am a part-timer on those podcasts because I'm a full-time filmmaker. I'm now damn near a full-time podcaster, with Weekly Spooky. So with that in mind, Dave shows up and he just has pages and pages of notes. And I remember when we were done recording that episode, I had pages of jokes. That was the difference. Dave would watch every episode two or three times and write down a full breakdown of the show and with trivia and all that. And I would watch it once and just jot down in my phone every time I thought of a funny moment or a funny joke. And when we did the first episode, because we eventually migrated to doing video podcasts for the Patreon backers, literally we did them in my office before I had a full studio. I had just my office sound booth. So Dave would cram in with me. My dog Henwolf would cram in with us. Yeah. And we would all be just like crammed up against each other in there. Dave would have his SM7B mic just like right up to his face. And I'd be sitting there with the other mic right up to my face. And I just would hold my iPad like a baby waiting for the jokes that I had written to come up. And I just remember when we finished that first episode, I turned to Dave and I was like, Dave, if that's how you're going to do this show, I am so in to do all 44 episodes.
No, absolutely. And I think what made it even more special for us both was that Freddy's has such a simple, I guess you could say like a simple build to it, because you have two A and B stories. And with those stories, you don't really have a lot of cast. So not only could I go into, you know, deep summaries of these, because I like Enrique said, I would watch these episodes 2 to 3 times, because there'd be the first time I would watch it, you know, I would just take it in and, you know, enjoy it for what it was. Second and third time I was making my notes, catching things I didn't catch and whatnot. And what became really fun about that was who would show up on this show, who was behind the scenes, who was in front of the camera. And that made it even more exciting. Like when Enrique and I stopped doing the show because we'd run out of episodes and then the podcast ended.
It felt weird.
It was weird. Yeah. Because Tuesday was our day for Freddy's. Like I remember when I would do my notes, when usually I would do them like, I want to say like a Saturday, like I would do like the actual full on notes like Saturday. That way I had some time and whatnot. And I remember I would celebrate by completing my notes by watching the next episode. And I remember the first time it hit me that it was done was I completed episode 44 and I was like, all right, it's time for the. Oh,
yeah.
That's it.
I would every Monday night, the day before, I would sit down at about 11 o'clock at night and I would watch Freddy's Nightmares and I would do my jokes. And the hardest part of that show, which I hope people appreciate, this is the first time we've really talked about the show post show.
Yeah.
I'm realizing, but, the thing I worked the hardest on is out of 44 Freddy's Nightmares episodes, 42 of them have Freddy Krueger intervening.
Mm-hmm.
And that may or may not have been me performing as Freddy Krueger. But so every week I had to come up with some kind of joke for Freddy. And it became like an actual writing job, like doing a weekly show, because I'd be like, wait, but what's Freddy going to say? Like, is there something he can say about this or that? I mean, I would literally...
I would talk like this.
I was wondering.
Nice. And then of course,
bitch.
But I remember one week I was so exhausted from working and I could not for the life of me think of something Freddie would say. And the other funny thing is I would start at the beginning of the episode looking for like, oh, maybe Freddie will say this about this. And then sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes Freddie would say like that in the actual episode.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, God damn it.
Yeah. I think you have to cross. Like,
I guess that was some low hanging fruit if the writers back then thought of it too. Jeez. Okay, fine. Forget it. But I remember one episode, my proudest one was I was so tired that Freddy shows up and he just starts saying, you know, he just starts saying like,
you know, I ate a clown once, tasted funny. Ah!
And we were, and then I'd go, Freddy, that's not very, what's that behind your back?
Get away from me. Get away from me.
And then I'd be like, Freddy, is this a joke book behind your back?
He'd
be
like, I didn't have time to come up with anything. Leave me alone.
Like that was.
I also loved it when he would start telling us he was waiting on his DoorDash orders. There was a couple times that he was waiting on his DoorDash, so he just came downstairs to talk to us at the end of the show.
Oh shit!
Chipotle,
nice.
But no, and the other fun thing about this show for me, which now is spread on to Do You Even Movie, the show we do every week where we talk about movies, was getting Dave in front of an audience, because Dave had been an unsung hero of a lot of my productions, but in particular, his greatest creative contributions were in what I would call my more, for lack of a better term, this is going to sound horrible, but like more of the intimate stuff I did, like Popcorn Fodder.
Yeah.
You know, where Dave was basically the director on Popcorn Fodder and he operated the main camera. So, you know, anytime the camera panned or zoomed, that was a Dave decision. And one time it was out of focus, but we won't talk about that.
Just one
but,
time.
But so it was cool to put you, because on the feature films, Dave is more of a, I got you, man. Let's go do this, you know.
Right.
But so the more I got to get him into the creative aspect, the more I was pleased to see how he took to it. And seeing how he took to having a podcast that was basically his gig, I was there to record and co-host with him. And promote it and yada, yada, you know, do the tech crap. But it was really cool to get Dave in front of people because people very quickly realized Dave has very interesting opinions about movies, which we used to just bark at each other from the couch together while we watched them, you know? So, yeah. So anyway, a long, long story short, after that first episode, I was positive we were going to do another 43, and we ended up doing what, 51 or 52, because we did some bonus shows.
I think we got to 60 something, because that was kind of what unfolded with it. Was not only did we have the show, but with us being huge Freddy Krueger fans, we had a lot of ephemera that was just in regards to Freddy's greatest hits, the video game and stuff like that.
The 1-900 number.
The 1-900 number that we were able to bring on the show.
Which was episodes. One of our biggest episodes for downloads and streams on YouTube, was the one where we sat and we listened to a fan recording of the Freddy Krueger 1-900 number.
Yep.
And it's amazing. So and the funny thing is, some of those episodes were so memorable, but those are the episodes we did when we didn't have time to prep a real one.
Yeah, or we were just tired in general. I mean, because that was the one thing with it, was that, you know, we had a schedule to keep and whatnot with the episodes. But then when I think it was it already done through the first season when Tubi removed it?
We were about to finish the first season and Tubi removed it. Yeah.
And then we had a very gracious person reach out to us who was like, hey, I actually have this copy of the series that has a lot of labor of love into it. So then when we kind of realized that we didn't really have a time limit with it, we could actually add some more bonus stuff into it, not also including the fact that we had people from the show start reaching out to us. I mean,
I think we did a JC, lot more interviews than we ever thought. Yeah,
JC reached out to us, I want to say, like, what, the third episode?
Or was it after the first episode? He reached out after the first episode. After it was the first episode aired.
That's on my list to go over. And you guys being seasoned podcasters, you're making my job so fucking easy. I'm just sitting here listening to you, which is awesome. Just keep talking, because this is the subject. But yeah, I was going to get to that. So continue.
Yeah. When James Cappy reached out to us, who had written The End of the World and... what's the other episode I'm blanking on? Light at the End of the Tunnel. That was when we knew that, like, oh man, people are out there that listen to us. But also then Mick Garris ended up like tweeting it on his episode.
That's how Cappy found it.
That's how Cappy found it. I thought, yeah.
He shared it, but he shared it more out of the amusement of somebody's like, talking about Freddy's Nightmares.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately we never were able to get Mick to be on the show. But
we talked to him, but he politely declined us.
Yeah. But like that, I remember just thinking like, holy crap, when the first email the show ever got was from someone who wrote two episodes.
Yeah.
And it was a very thoughtful email. It wasn't just like, you know, I wrote that. Isn't that cool? It's so neat that you guys are looking into this, because I have been a television writer in Hollywood my whole life, and it all started with Freddy's Nightmares. So it's so cool to look back. And that was such a cool thing. So then, you know, within like 3 weeks, I was like, so when can we have you on, Cappy? And his exact response was, I'm available for podcast interviews, bar mitzvahs, whatever you got.
Yeah.
So Cappy also famous for writing The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Yep.
Oh, really?
The Andrew Dice Clay film.
Yeah. I remember that film. Nice.
Which when he wrote it, it was for Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Yeah. He told us that on the show. Said that the everything in the script stayed the same except for the lines, basically.
Yeah.
Said, like, all the action, everything that he had written was still in there, but the lines for Dice were not what he had given.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, when we got James Cappy, did we have Cats, Al Cats before that?
No. No, okay. Cappy was our first interview as far as I can recall.
Yeah, Cappy, I think, was the first interview. Actually, I don't think that's right, Hen, because I think we did Cats in the old studio the first time.
We did Cats in the old studio, too.
Did we? Okay, because for some reason I was thinking we didn't. But yeah, regardless...
I feel like it, yeah, but yeah, maybe not.
Regardless, we got word from Al Cats, and Al Cats had just started, not just started, but he had gotten notoriety from Mick Garris on his Postmortem podcast, because he had started the How Not to Make a Movie podcast, the Making of Bordello of Blood, which was another... project film that Enrique and I have a personal tie to, because we have watched it many times and we've talked about it. And so when that opportunity came forward, when I just emailed him and he was like, yeah, I would love to be on. So then when Al Katz came on and we got him for about an hour, and then towards the end of that episode, I even asked him, I was like, you know, do you think Gil Adler would come on? And for those who don't know, Gil Adler was the guy, Gil Adler and Al Katz were the guys that saved Tales from the Crypt at the end of season two, going in from season three through seven, because it was so over budget. So those two guys came in as the producers and saved Tales from the Crypt, because it almost got canceled after season two because it was so blown over budget.
Yeah. So when that would have been, you were right. Al Katz was before Cappy.
Yeah.
You were,
I thought
right.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah. I just checked.
That would have been a shame. I was a big Tales from the Crypt fan.
Yeah.
They were really, I mean, they were going to shut it down after season three, but Al Katz and Gil Adler as a team, using a lot of what they'd learned from Freddy's Nightmares, were able to step in and be disciplined and not waste money and hire good people and get good material on a 5-day schedule.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, and when we got both of those guys on the show, which that took a little bit, because we had Katz on, I think like within the first like 10 episodes or so, I think
somewhere in that neighborhood. He was on in December.
Yeah. And then we got Gil and Al in like season, when we were discussing season two episodes. And, you know, it was crazy because there was not a lot of information out about Freddy's Nightmares. I mean, even the Never Sleep Again documentary, you have a 5-minute clip that basically has most of the creators of the show being like, it's so unwatchable. Like, I can't even watch it now. Like, going back to it is just like bad memories. There was no information out for it. So when we got the opportunity to bring these people onto the show, that just made the show last even longer in the best sense possible, because then we had all this behind the scenes information coming from them. One of which, Cappy brought us Jeff Freilich, because we had finished up with James. And at the end of the episode, he's like, you know, hey, Dave, you know, I'm talking to Jeff Freilich right now. And Freilich's names was all over the series, because he was the show running producer for the first season. And there was no interviews with him. There was no behind the scenes with him.
But not just no interviews with him. I mean, no interviews with him.
Yeah.
He went on to be a major producer in television. He was basically at one point one of the highest people at AMC. And. After all, but he'd just never done an interview.
Yeah.
So we sat him down and he even said, like, you know, I hope I do all right. I've never done an interview. We asked him like one question and he talked for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And nice. I remember the entire time that he was telling us stuff about his career, about Freddy's Nightmares, about all the stuff. I just remembered sitting there going like, holy crap, none of this is anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, this is a first time interview. Like, he was giving us info about how Freddy's Nightmares came to be, all kinds of behind the scenes stuff. He also gave us great stories about coming up in Roger Corman's film studio, working on Falcon Crest, roads lead back to Falcon Crest. There would be no Freddy's Nightmares if it weren't for the fine people who made the later seasons of Falcon Crest.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating, but I remember when that show was over, turning to David and going, this is my greatest contribution to fandom.
Yeah.
I had never made what I would consider a major contribution to fandom before. And now all of a sudden I was like, holy crap, I would kill to have heard that interview. If I had heard some podcast say, hey, like some rando podcast say, hey, we got the showrunner of Freddy's Nightmares, I'd be like, what? I got to hear that. So that was when I really started to dawn on me that we did something really awesome with our time, something fun and something for the people who love what we love, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the best things that I think came out of it was that a lot of people realized Freddy's Nightmares was a thing, because we had a lot of people being like, I had no idea that Freddy even had a TV show. And that was, I think, also kind of a misconception with it, was that Freddy's only in 8 episodes out of 44 of them, as far as the central storyline goes. He's in all the episodes, but as being like a central storyline and character to them, 8 out of the 44 episodes. So then you've got a lot of really cool short horror stories mixed in these, with a bunch of people that went on to do major things, like Mike DeLuca and all those guys at New Line and whatnot, all had these starts at Freddy's Nightmares. Just was, you know, a 2-season horror TV show that ran most late nights and kind of fell into obscurity.
Yeah, well, it was never made to be remembered. It was made to be syndicated and bring in cashola. Mike DeLuca is one of the funnier elements, because he became and is one of the biggest players in Hollywood as a producer, and he was literally a leather jacket wearing, slightly higher than an intern person on Freddy's Nightmares. He was Bob Shea's boy, and Shea was like, I want to put him on Freddy's Nightmares so he can learn how to produce. So, and now, you know, he learned how to produce because he's one of the, you know, the biggest name producers in the world.
Yeah. I still remember when we went to see 50 Shades and you were just like, hey, DeLuca.
Mike DeLuca. Well, at that point, I was just surprised because like the guy who took over Freddy Krueger and Jason later on.
Well, it's a shame it didn't reach an episode count where it could go into syndication because I'm sure it would be a
It didn't really. I mean, it reran throughout the years. I mean, you know,
El Rey had it for a little bit. Schiller got it for a little bit. Well,
but not only that, I mean, it reran on broadcast television too.
Yeah.
The thing with syndication is the magic number is 100 episodes, but that's to go into like full force, like big revenue syndication. But shows that have less episodes than that will still get syndicated. It's just they're less exciting to prospects. It reran and showed, but that was the problem. Like the first time I ever heard of Freddy's Nightmares was on the VHS tape for, I think it was Nightmare 3.
Yeah.
And it had this commercial with that crazy witch who's never in the show, but this crazy witch character, and it said Freddy's Nightmares, you know, all this stuff. And then it says, check your local listings. Now I'm sitting here. I am like 9 years old. The show, I don't know this because there's no internet for me really yet, but I'm sitting there like, wait, there's a Freddy Krueger TV show, not knowing that it was canceled like 3 or 4 years ago. So I checked my local listings and they just shrugged back at me. I was like, what are you talking about? No such thing. And that's the trickiest part about shows that were first run syndication is they always had to say, check your local listings for times. Because they didn't know where it was going to be, when it was going to be. They had no clue. They just knew it would get somewhere.
Yeah. And I think honestly, you can agree with me too, because we've said this before, that the biggest surprise of doing this podcast was there really wasn't a quote unquote bad episode of Freddy's Nightmares. In our opinion,
there were a couple that were a little bit of a slog, but like
slog. Yeah.
But so many of them were so outrageous.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine not being entertained, but especially talk about perfect to air at like 11 p.m. or midnight, something so wackadoo as that. I mean, that was the thing. If I had been a teenager when that was airing, I would have never missed it because I would have been like,
oh, hell no.
What the hell's going to be on the next one? Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, it went through so many different types of horrors from like you had cannibals one episode, you had serial killers in some episodes. Like it was every episode was just a surprise because either you didn't know where it was going to go or you didn't know what the B story was going to be, if it was going to tie into it in a fact at all.
That's excellent, though, because, you know, Henrik's Weekly Spooky kind of follows that suit. You never know what you're going to get every week.
That's my favorite part about it. I mean, I've always described it as like Tales from the Crypt, but audiobook.
Yeah.
And so when we started to wrap the show up, I had heard from a guy named Jeff Turner. Jeff Turner is the owner and operator of Death Cult Press and a good buddy of mine. He's also my cousin, but we really were just buddies. And Jeff Turner had not only published some books, but he's done a lot of special effects work for my films. And we've just always worked together on each other's projects. Well, he did a book called Night of the Living Tapes, which ended up becoming the official guide to the VHS and DVD releases of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
The official home video history of Night of the Living Dead. And it did gangbusters. So then he did a book called A Theater Near You, which was the marketing of Night of the Living Dead. And after those two were out, he was like, I'm trying to come up with a book to do. And I want to say I floated to him like, you should listen to the podcast and see if you could turn what all we dug up on the podcast into a book.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. So the next day he wrote me and he was like, all right, so I listened to a couple of your podcasts, the interviews, they're freaking great. I'm totally going to make a book out of this. We'll do it together. So then I gave him a few things. I gave him some artwork that I had made for the show. Like the Freddy Krueger claw on the cover of the book. That's my hand in a glove with us. Yeah. That's all me, baby. 100% me. So I sent him that stuff. And then like 4 or 5 months later, I just out of the blue, he just goes, here you go. And it's a PDF of the finished book.
The whole book. Yeah. You sent that to me. And I was just like, holy shit. Like we have a book.
The book is done. So then we did a pre-order run and it was very successful. It was about double what Death Cult Press was hoping for.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of shocked that, and now that it's funny though, now that it's a book, I do, not trying to sound bitter, but more people have paid to read the book then listen to the podcast for free. So,
hey, that's the breaks, kid. That's how it happens.
I'm so pleased with the way it was put together, and I'm so pleased to have my name on a piece of Nightmare on Elm Street fandom forever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I concur with that 100% because it's one thing when you do a podcast, you get listeners and people are like, I listen to it. It sounds awesome. The information you had is awesome. Now that I can possibly walk into a bookstore and find a book that I'm a part of, that's pretty damn cool.
It is awesome, and I'm proud of both of you guys. You did a great job on this thing, and I love the excerpts from the interviews. One question I want to ask you, Dave, is there an episode that sticks out in your brain? So is there one that is maybe just a little cut above the wrist that you will never forget? Is there a moment, a happening, something that happened in an episode that really sticks out for you?
That's a really good question, because yes, there is one. And I think you may agree with me, Enrique, or not, but
never agree with you.
There is one that is called, it's the one about the car. I think it's episode 9 of season 1. Let me get the title of it. But there's one that just kind of completely takes you by storm, where the first story is like about this guy's obsession with his car, and like he's wanting to leave Springwood, because that's the common thing with Freddy's nightmares is people either are moving into Springwood or trying to leave Springwood, and it never works out well.
Yeah, it never works out well whether you're coming or going.
Yeah, it does not. And the episode in question is Rebel Without a Car. And Rebel Without a Car was an episode that took us both by storm, because, like I said, the first episode's like this guy's trying, like he's kind of like the bad kid in town and not a lot of people like him, and he's trying to figure out a way out of town. Then the second episode is about this chick trying to get into a sorority, and the sorority chicks are terrible to her. So the last 10 minutes of the episode just turns into a straight up slasher film.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun and so insane.
Nice. That's a great one. But for me,
and
it's not just because Cappy wrote it, but the end of the world, Freddy Krueger in that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freddy Krueger is literally trying to cause the end of the world by launching a nuclear missile.
Fuck yeah.
Because, by the way, there's a nuclear missile silo in Springwood. Don't ask questions. Just
don't ask
agree.
Questions. We just need to lay out of Springwood with everything that's in it. My God.
And in the little wraparound segments with Freddy, he rides a nuclear bomb through space like a cowboy.
Yeah.
And that's the level of silly fun that I came to hope for whenever I was watching Freddy's Nightmares. So that's probably the one that stands out to me the most, because it was just so wackadoo and so much fun.
And for a shout out as an honorable mention, I'll give it's one I think a lot of people either remember from, but they may not know the title to. It's My Party and You'll Die If I Want To.
If I want you to.
Freddy's last episode on the series as a main storyline. They put it into season 2, episode 12. So they kind of got Freddy out of the series completely for storylines a little early on. But we found out that was supposedly be the last episode. But anyway, but Freddy goes to his high school reunion, and he goes after everybody that was basically talking crap about him at that point. And it is very entertaining, and there's a psychic involved. Possession. It's a wild episode.
No, that one's super fun. And just the moment when somebody's like, remember that creepy guy, Fred Krueger, we went to school with? Yeah. And they're like, well, you'll never believe what he did. And I'm like, oh, shit, people don't know. Yeah. Well, nice. That's going to be quite the talk of the toast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a series that really, I really hope that we do see a legit physical release of it soon, because the fact that we got to see it all in its 44 episodes and just got to expose everything about it from who was behind the camera, in front of the camera, the stories and everything. The series really does deserve a lot more love, in my opinion. I think it got maligned really early on for the fact that it was just, Freddy's Twilight Zone, essentially. So people just, took it as a trash slasher TV series at that point, which I'm not saying in some aspect it's not. But like I said earlier, it's just like I personally, there's some episodes that aren't as good. Yeah. There's some episodes that aren't as good as the others, but there was not an episode that either of us found, you know, quote unquote, unwatchable or just absolute trash or whatnot. They all have some pretty decent twists. They all have really awesome appearances of people that would go on to do way bigger things. Like Mariska Hargitay is in the fourth episode, and that was like one of her first starting roles. So it's really cool to see that element, but also then find out that these people went on to do way bigger careers. Like Raymond Cruz, for example, from Breaking Bad, appears in the second to last episode, I want to say.
One of those.
He's in the tail end of the series. So yeah, there's a huge, I mean, huge amount of names in it. It's just a really fun series. If you're into horror TV shows, then this is one that you should absolutely take a look into. And hopefully, like I said, it becomes more available, because I think it's a shame that it's not.
Yeah, it was streaming on Tubi for, I want to say, not even 5 months.
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared.
It just disappeared.
Which makes me think that New Line, Warner Brothers, they're planning something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what? I still, every day I'm shocked it's not on Max.
Yeah.
Because it's like they have a platform where they're desperately trying to put everything they own on it. Yeah. But really, there's just radio silence about the actual film, or the actual series, rather.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the podcast and the subsequent book that followed will garner more attention and open someone's eyes, and they'll do something with it.
It'd be nice. I mean, it's got to be coming someday, because everything is getting released. Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's almost every month now. I'm like, that's going to be on Blu-ray? Like, some title. I'm like, what? That is okay. Like, I own a 4K of Sidekicks with Jonathan Brandis and Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
4K. Why does that exist? They only made it for me. It couldn't have made any money.
Hey, I got a 4K Cloak and Dagger that exists now too, and that was a movie that I got to show you. That,
you mean Child Fight Club?
Child Fight Club. Yeah, that wrecked me. That wrecked me as a kid. My God, man, that movie is nuts.
Oh man. So we've Henrik's world, we've got the Valley, we've got Strickfield, but before all that, we had Springwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that making Springwood into a fictional universe was one of the coolest things Freddy's Nightmares was doing.
Yeah.
And also it got to become silly. I mean, it got to the point where every show we do, we'd be like, hey, guess what? Now Springwood has a professional size hockey rink. Hey. Yeah. Springwood has an underground missile bunker. Hey, Springwood has it would just a medical
Beefy boy.
School. It
now
just,
cheesy it just, boy.
Cheesy
now,
boy. It would just yeah. keep changing. And before you know, it was like Springwood was like the largest small town in all of Ohio.
Yeah.
Nice.
With so many unsolved crimes, too. That was one of the best parts.
Immense amounts of unsolved crimes.
Now, I know the purpose of this podcast was to talk about Welcome to Primetime, and we've done that a little bit, Freddy's Nightmares, but I also want to talk to you guys about the podcast. I mean, you guys are podcast gurus. You podcasting left and right and up and down, around a bend, but Do You Even Movie? I've watched some of those, and I really enjoy those, so I want to talk a little bit about that. Your latest episode is April Fool's Day, and I already told you I'm a big Amy Steele fan. Going to meet her next month at
awesome.
Carolina Fear Fest, hopefully. I don't see her doing any of these podcasts. I want to see if she'll come on, but
you never know until you
never
ask.
Never know, yeah.
That's right. Never know until you ask. So talk to me a little bit about Do You Even Movie and how you guys put that together.
Dave, I mean, you take it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the easiest way to explain it was we didn't want the fun to stop when Freddy's was coming to an end. We had just fallen into this groove of doing the podcast and, you know, having the jokes and having laughs together, and also sometimes, not often, but sometimes we would watch the episodes together, which was fun too. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, we're talking about a 10-year friendship here that we've watched countless movies together, and movies of all types, from the blockbusters to Jogmundra films to, you know, all kinds of B-movie and whatnot. So when we knew Freddy's was coming to an end, you know, Enrique was like, you know, I do you want to continue with another podcast? And if so, like, what would it be? And I remember I looked at him and just said, you know, I think it makes sense for us to do a movie podcast, just kind of in the same vein that we're doing Freddy's. But also we have personal films that we have ties to, like that were early on in our friendship, or we have endless inside jokes that we will throw back to each other because of movies and stuff we've watched together. So Do You Even Movie was the break off of Freddy's for us to go ahead and continue, you know, meeting up every week and talking about stuff. But also the one thing that I brought to Enrique was that I'm a big podcast fan, and I think it's sometimes way easier to make a podcast when you talk about movies in a negative sense of like, you know, can you believe how bad this is, or like, you know, how trashy this is, and I can't believe this was got made. Whereas we wanted to bring something positive to each film that we talk about. So that was the highlight of Do You Even Movie, was we wanted to bring films up that, you know, maybe many people do love, or maybe ones that like haven't really been, you know, available to a lot of people. Like one of our first few episodes is If Looks Could Kill, ironically, which apparently just hit Tubi recently.
Yeah.
And that was a movie that early on in our friendship, like we kind of in our friendship, we latched onto, and it was just like a spur moment where I had posted on Facebook that I was watching it, and Enrique was like, oh my God, like I remember that movie from like watching in my childhood and whatnot. And I remembered it from my childhood because my parents had it recorded off of VHS. Mm-hmm. So when we like had that commonality of having that experience with films, but also liking the same types of films, and also having that desire to want to talk positive about movies and get people to watch these movies. And with streaming, it's way easier to pick titles, even though I'm bad at it sometimes.
Dave likes to pick films for us to talk about that literally you can't find anywhere.
Yeah, like spoilers. Well, our episode coming up this week is Bushwhacked, and Bushwhacked used to be on Max and a couple other services, and it's no longer available now. So you have to literally get a DVD of it to watch Bushwhacked right now. But nice. No, I mean that was kind of the idea, was that there was so much available now with streaming, so it was just like, let's pick movies that, you know, we can get people to watch that definitely deserve more of an audience. So that was where Do You Even Movie came from, was we didn't want the fun of Freddy's to end, but we also have been huge movie fans our entire lives, to where we see a lot of underappreciated films, just like Freddy as an underappreciated series, even though that's not how it started.
Well, and we were talking about it before, like when the show was just barely halfway through.
Yeah.
We were like, because we knew there had to be an end point for Freddy's, you know, for the Freddy's Nightmares podcast, because eventually you'll run out of episodes. You'll run out of extra content to talk about. Although Dave never did beat the NES game. So,
yeah. Well, so I mean, sad. I have not, but I still, so I currently have it on my laptop right now. So I have been still playing it every now and then.
That's even sadder. But we knew something was going to give. And the funny thing is, people were writing in all the time saying like, so when this is over, what are you going to do? And they were recommending like that we would do like Forever Night or
Monsters.
Some people were recommending Friday the 13th, the series. Oof. And the problem was like, well, first of all, I was just like, no, because I didn't believe that any show had the level of haphazard insanity that Freddy's Nightmares did, which is what kept me invested every single episode. I was like, once you get into some of these shows where like they have, I don't know, the variance is too much. Like Friday the 13th, the series was a better produced series, but the episodes are so good, for lack of a better term, that they're not that interesting to me.
Yeah.
I want to dive into Freddy's Nightmares, where they were like, well, we had chewing gum and a paperclip. Here's a 40-minute show.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, it is strange and fun. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do another marathon run like that. That was too much for me. I want to talk about a thing, and when we're done talking about it, it's because it's over.
Yeah. And I think you and I also talked that like there wasn't really anything that we could go into detail that much about like Freddy's had become, because like, you know, yeah, you like you said, yeah, Friday the 13th, the series, it's not that great. I mean, there's not even Jason in it. And Monsters, we have an inside joke with Monsters where I had the complete series, and about I think four episodes in, you turned them in, you were just like, I remember Monsters being good.
Yeah, it was a little rough. Well, do you remember when you were like, oh, I have the perfect idea for the show, and then I was like, no. Do you remember that? It was when you were like,
memory.
Let's do the Larry Sanders show. You were like, because we both love that show more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Dave, that'd be a great podcast. Remember when he made this joke? That was really funny. Yeah, that was really funny.
That's Chris Farley.
The Chris Farley show. Yeah, it was exactly the Chris Farley show. Like, that's what it would have been.
You remember?
That was awesome. Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Because that's the way we are. I mean, so that's why Freddy's worked, because it was fun. But there was still room to criticize. There was still room to point, make jokes, poke fun, but all in a positive way.
Yeah.
And that's really been the big purpose of all of this podcasting, is I stand by, I am not a film reviewer at all. I'm a filmmaker who evangelizes films. I love to tell people what's great to watch. I don't like to tell people what stinks. Yeah. I don't think I really know what stinks. I know I might vaguely know what I don't like. That's as good as I get. So that's why the motto of Do You Even Movie is we're not reviewers. We're enthusiasts.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you for that, Henrik. And you kind of, you know, I've known Henrik just a couple of years now. It seems like I've known him a long time. But one of the things I appreciate about Henrik is he doesn't look through things with through a negative spectrum at all. And the thing about it is, you know, I've seen movies and I've in the past, I'm like, that movie was shit. I hated it, blah, blah, blah. But since I've met him and I look at movies in a different sense, I look at them at the work the people are putting into it, what the actors are dedicating themselves to do. And the guy behind the camera, all the shit that he has to go through and the pressures he or she are facing when they're making that movie. So I'm not so quick to say a movie shit anymore. It's like, you know, they've worked their ass off to put this out. So I'm not going to crap on it, you know,
and just loving the medium. You know, I love sitting down and watching a movie. I mean, you could challenge us, you know, you could force Dave and I to watch A Night of Horror. Which is inarguably one of the worst films ever made.
Buddy. Maybe, I mean, at least we do have a new HD transfer of it, though.
I have it. You didn't buy it. I bought it.
You bought it, yeah.
Don't worry, I'm saving it for your birthday.
Oh, can't wait. But no, I mean, to piggyback off of that thing with you know, looking at movies in a different light, that's one of my biggest problems, I think, anymore is a great example was when It Chapter 1 was in production and even It Chapter 2 were in production. I decided that it was a great idea to join a group that was a big fan of the production and whatnot. But also because of that, a lot of leaks and stuff were coming in there, like images from sets, videos and whatnot. And I can't remember specifically what it was, but there was one thing that dropped and I was just like, that is so cool. And then I thought it would have been way cooler if this would have surprised me in theaters when I was watching it for the first time, rather than now it's spoiled for me. And that's kind of a thing with film, especially lately, that I've been dealing with, is that I feel like a lot of people have just kind of become jaded moviegoers to where they can't enjoy things because it's so much popular or so easy to just kind of bond over, I don't want to say hatred, but like displeasure of certain things with films, whether it's, you know, the next remake that's coming out or whatnot. It just seems like there's a lot of negativity anymore with any new movie news. So Do You Even Movie was just a way for us to go on and give people our insight into the ways that we look at films, that we enjoy films, but also relate back to them with, you know, some of our topics that we'll go into or some of our stories we'll share. There's a lot more to a movie than what you actually see on the screen, like you said. It's just like, you know, you have to think about what's going on behind the scenes, you know, what troubles it went through in production, whether it was the MPAA back in the day, stuff like that. So it's really interesting to have those stories.
I think the time in your life that you saw it is really important too.
Absolutely.
That can make all the difference in the world. You know, you see a movie that's not necessarily the best, but you saw it when you were 9 years old and it made your weekend, you know, and that movie is gold for you forever. And that's
Flash
special...
Gordon, baby.
Yeah.
Go Flash, go. Yeah.
And that means that for the rest of your life, you have a special relationship with that film that nobody else can have the exact same. Now they may have a similar story, but it'll never be the same. And that's how I feel about a lot of films. I mean, gosh, I probably never even told you this, Dave. I mean, one of the reasons I love Jaws the Revenge is because it was on cable when I was a kid. Yeah. And I have so many memories of catching a piece of that movie on HBO at like 8:30 while I was eating my oatmeal cookie before bed.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like eating it really slow so I could watch as much of it as I could. My mom would be like, "Are you done with that? It's time for bed." I'd be like, "But shark, the shark," you know. So we all have those little
2 hour cookie, mom.
2 hour cookie. There we go.
And you know, she luckily knew all my tricks.
No,
but that's what I care about the most is like what makes you love the movie. Because when we talked, our first episode was about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I could talk about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles forever. We should have just done a podcast about Planes, Trains every week. That's what we should have done.
Break down the first 30 seconds each week until we get to the
But but there's films like that, and there's films like we talked about even newer films like Mercy Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I I was shocked how much I had to say about that movie.
Yeah.
I knew I loved it, but I couldn't believe how long I was able to talk about how great it was. And that's a movie nobody seems to have heard of, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I don't know, for me, I mean, movies are everything to me. I think that's obvious. Movies have given me everything I'm proud of in my life.
Yeah.
And I just want to celebrate them. I want to celebrate them. It's like, I know sometimes people will tease me on social media because I'll post a picture of a movie ticket and be like, what'd you think? I'm like, it was super fun. And they're like, that's all you ever say. I'm like, that's all I need to say.
Yeah.
I don't need to, like, what do you want me to explain? Like every moment that was fun? No, like, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not auditing a goddamn college course. I'm going to eat some popcorn and watch some people pretend.
Yep. Well, and I give you major props because, you know, you were kind of the one that showed me early on that, like, it wasn't so much fun to talk about why a movie was bad versus why a movie was good. Because after a while, it's just like, you can say a movie's bad and give these reasons, but then after a while, the reasons kind of just repeat. It's just like, well, I didn't like that, or, well, this was stupid. It's like, when you actually have something to say about a film that's critical or just comes from the heart, you can tell with that person in particular that they have an admiration for this. That's not just them kind of just sitting down every week and, you know, watching something and just commenting on it. When we bring our personal stories to Do You Even Movie, sometimes you get stories out of me that I was not prepared to share.
Yeah, I still can't believe you shared some of the shit you shared on that show.
Exactly. But it's just like those experiences kind of like tie into that, where it's just like, you know, I can go back to those memories. And that's what I love about film, especially, is like you said, you know, the first time you saw it, or even the first time that you had your own personal copy of it, or the first time that you showed it to somebody and got to have that experience. Like, my love language especially is showing people movies. I found that out very quickly. And that's something that I think a lot of people, unfortunately, just don't have now, because I think it's just one of those things where a lot of people don't watch movies like you and I do.
Mm. Well, and for the record, my love language is Esperanto.
Esperanto.
Yes.
Good to know.
Just want to make sure I made that very, very clear.
Good to know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, guys, this has been fantastic. And what you have done for me today is you made my job so easy. I had a page full of notes here, but you kept talking and talking and talking, and you hit everything that I wanted to bring up. Professional podcasters, man. Love you.
Take that, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade teachers who said me never shutting up would hurt my life.
For the record, though, you did also turn every writing assignment into Terminator 2, as you've told me.
Oh, my God. My teacher got so mad the third time. We would get writing assignments where we'd have a setup and then you had to finish it, and I just had it turn into Terminator 2 every single time. And they were not amused, but I got a C, so I won.
Hey, that's pretty impressive. I have a middle school. We had a book report that we had to do in class. I'd completely forgotten about it, and we had to do it. It was fiction, and it had to be an English author. Somebody told me, asked me if I remembered, and I was like, oh, shit, and I ran to the library, and I just picked a random book by an English author. I can't even remember the title. Mm-hmm. And I came back, sat down, wrote the book report by hand. You know, I'm old. I'm 55, so we had pencil and paper, so I was writing that shit out. At the end, I made up this completely the story right off the top of my head about a knight and some, this war and all this shit. And 2 days later, got the paperback. A+, great creativity. I know you didn't read the book.
Those are the moments that matter, though.
Man.
That's good.
But yeah. But you guys have done so much talking, I'm going to let you talk some more. What I want you to do is promote anything you want to promote. I'm going to put all the links in the podcast, in the stuff below, so you guys can click on it and go straight to it. Definitely talk about Freddy's Nightmares. But Henry has so much shit going on. He has so many podcasts, so much stuff. So I'm going to be quiet, let Henrik talk, promote away, man. And then, David, if you have anything you want to promote behind it, you too.
Absolutely.
And then I'll close us out.
Well, believe it or not, we own freddysnightmares.com. So we go to freddysnightmares.com. You can find not only the podcast in its entirety, but also a link to get the book. You could also just search Welcome to Primetime on Amazon if you want to get it, especially if you're not in the United States. That's the easiest way to get the book quickly and affordably, is go to Amazon. I also want to mention, I don't know exactly when this is going to air, but on April 28th, this is the first place I've said it publicly, but April 28th, we filmed the first day of Babysitter Massacre 2.
Awesome.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I was literally, before this interview, I was in the garage with Rachel, the producer on the film, and we were digging up all of the props.
Oh, wow.
For the film. We had this. Let me tell you something. When you make a feature film, the prop list gets long real quick.
Yep.
So we were just digging through it. It was like, do you see anything that could work as a gag? And then we'd be like, dig, dig, dig. What about this? All right, put it in the box. Hey, we need a handgun. What kind? This one or this one? You know, stuff like that. So, but we start shooting in April, and we should be done by the end of May. So very exciting time. Very excited about that. So, Dave, what do you want to talk about?
I would just love to let people know that, like Enrique said, we do have the Freddy's Nightmares podcast. You can also find us on Do You Even Movie. Every Tuesday, we have a new episode, and we are talking about, I want to say, it'll be Bushwhacked this Tuesday. So we've got that. That's a very fun episode coming up. So you can find that wherever you get your podcast at.
Yeah, or go to doyouevenmovie.com.
That also is true, yes. You can also find me appearing on our good buddy Mike the Birdman Dodds podcast, This Week in Geek. I'm a regular appearer on there for the Loose Cannon Show, and that has been a lot of fun as well. So if you go to wherever your podcast and go to This Week in Geek, you can find me on there as well. You can find me on Instagram at David's Watching Movies Again, and that's where you can find usually the adventures of Enrique and I watching whatever the hell we decide to in our spare time. And that's basically all I got.
Yeah. And also, of course, Weekly Spooky, which yes. We just aired a story by you, Charles, which I didn't realize was an older story of yours. It was very good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's called The Last Flight Out. Go check it out. Weeklyspooky.com. Yeah.
I love airplane stories. So that one was really good.
I'm in for that.
Yep. Well, thank you, Henry. And this is going to air on April 26th, by the way. So.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah, just before we start rolling.
It will be perfect. And I am Charles Campbell, your small town horror author. I have a new book coming out late summer called Signature, A Cut Above, about a psycho beautician. My good friend Elena Marie is going to provide the cover images, and she will knock it out of the park. She's amazing. Henrik can attest to that.
Yeah, she's incredible.
My latest book is called The Piano Witch. You can find it at valleyboypublications.com. You can also find links to my Facebook and Instagram pages there. And if you want to get in touch with me, just hit me up on Instagram or Facebook. And if you're a horror nut and want to be on the horror podcast, I will definitely find room for you. I love talking horror, and also host a musicians only podcast called Backstage 421. So I love talking to musicians too. So you can check that out. You can find those wherever you get your podcasts. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Horror 421, the podcast. Again, David and Henrik, so glad you guys joined. I'm so happy for you and proud of you for the success of your book. Welcome to Prime Time. Check it out. Go buy a copy. I got to have my own signed copy here. So hopefully you guys are still signing these. I don't know.
Oh, we signed,
some,
what was it?
There are some signed ones still available at deathcultpress.com. Yep, there
we
it
signed,
is.
Signed, what, 248 of them at one time? Is that what it was?
Yeah, 248 in one sitting.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being on the show, and we'll catch you next time on Horror 421, the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you had a horrific time, lovelies. Thank you for tuning in to Horror 421, the podcast. Be sure to like us on YouTube and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.